Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Everyone, and welcome to our first episode of our Love Island USA season 2 episode coverage. We did a preview show, but this is the first, you know, new content coming at you live. I'm Kirsten McInnes, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how's it going?
Hello. I am good. I'm excited to talk about all these new people we have on Love Island. Learned that people from Virginia are real today, apparently. So definitely excited to go through, 3 hours of Love Island that I did not think we would be talking about when we said we were going to record today.
Yes, for sure. And we are joined by a very special guest for our first recap. Just like last summer, we have our fearless leader, Rob Sesternino. Rob, how's it going?
What? Oh, nobody's expecting this guy to be here. I'm like Johnny coming in to throw off the whole podcast. Uh-oh.
So happy to be here with my entire Instagram-ily here. So excited to talk about two nights of Love Island. Kirsten and Brian, or should I say, is it Kirsten and Brian?
No. That is something that we will not be doing. Someone tweeted right during the episode, like, can we just pretend this Kirsten is at Kirsten said what? And I said, absolutely not. That is not what we're doing here. Just no.
Wow. So much Love Island.
Yeah. Who'd so much. So, yeah. They blindsided us. We did not know it was going to be a 2-hour premiere. Like, Scally, did you know it was going to be a 2-hour premiere?
No, I found out at about 8:03 when I saw the first tweet on my timeline of someone live tweeting. So that was where I was like, run inside, jump on the TV, watch as fast as I could.
Talk about some excess baggage.
Yeah, that was definitely some baggage. West Coast, I wasn't watching at the start. So when I started seeing tweets at like 5 p.m., I was like, oh, I guess it's on at 8 tonight because there's no Big Brother. That's weird. And then the tweets just kept coming. And I was like, oh, no, now we've got some trouble. So we have a supersized episode, I guess, today. I don't know why they didn't just do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but whatever. We have Love Island season 2, where they have built a villa on the roof of a hotel. Scally, what'd you think of the villa?
I was not sure how I was going to feel about it. I knew that it was taking place at like a casino in Vegas, but I didn't know exactly the layout of it. And now that I see it, I like it. I have no problem with this. It has the same functionality as anywhere else they're going to go. So you can film season 3 here and it would not bother me at all.
Yeah, it looks like a normal Love Island villa, and it's not going to rain every day like it did last summer.
Oh, they wish it would rain every day. That right now, just for that, you know, I know that, Kirsten, you are up in beautiful Canada. Brian, you're on the East Coast. Let me just tell you a little bit about what's going on in the southwestern United States. We're breaking records over here. That ever, there are days that is over 110 degrees. These people are going to die. That they are out in the sun, outside all day long in Las Vegas on top of a roof. This is dangerous. You know, you thought that the danger was going to be, all right, film a Love Island season during a pandemic. We're going to lose somebody.
Well, they said these are the people who definitely have not been quarantining that survived. So let's see if we can kill them.
They said this show was Dr. Anthony Fauci approved. I don't think so. I want a second opinion on this because these people are about to have a heat stroke.
Yeah,
they should not be in a hot tub.
I did get a DM today that it was 108 degrees today in Vegas and to make sure that we do address that. So I'm glad that we have someone from the area to let us know the effects of that level of heat. I don't think it would ever get that hot here. Let me convert that to Celsius for myself.
Okay, convert
quick.
It to Celsius. And also, have either of you ever been to Las Vegas?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I have. And that let me also tell you that you think like, oh, okay, well, it's hot during the day. At night, it'll cool down. And at night, it's still like 97 degrees out when it's this hot in Las Vegas. And they're filming all these ceremonies. I don't know how people have just not passed out right on camera. They must be giving like them intravenous fluids in between scenes.
I think they must. I did notice that some of them looked very sweaty in the premiere. And
listening,
this really contextualizes that since 108 Fahrenheit is 42 degrees Celsius, which is just about the hottest temperature I've ever experienced in my life. And that was many, many moons ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because we're always used to seeing them spend the majority of their time outside, but it doesn't even look like there's any indoor space besides the bedroom and the giant closets that they get ready in. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, usually there's like a couch somewhere that people will like escape to, but looks like we're fully outside in one big rooftop this year.
Yeah. I want to know what the UV index is. My mother would have never allowed me to do something like this.
Yeah, I saw one guy had a bad sunburn. I think it was Connor, looked like that he had gotten some a little too much sun.
All these influencers, they don't realize you need your sunscreen. Mm-hmm. What a problem. So the opening line of the season is that they're in Vegas and letting us know that they will be wearing swimsuits the size of our face masks, which I think... it's not an accurate statement. Some of these bathing suits are pretty big. Mm. Whatever.
I think I said that we haven't seen your face mask.
Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, so we get this season, the women enter first, which I can't remember is the same or not as last year.
I think it was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Because all I remember of last year is one specific couple and nothing else. I blacked it out. So thank you for keeping me honest.
Yeah, they've mixed it up in the UK before, but I think that most versions have settled on the women coming in first and them stepping forward for the guys.
I still don't know which I like better, but whatever. Listen to last year's recap. I'm sure I had a strong opinion then. So the first women that enter are Sally and Moira. Sally says that at her office job, HR says no to her outfits, but then says she likes to wear the pants in a relationship. So that was an interesting comparison, contrast. I don't know. Words are really hard today. and then Moira, who left her boyfriend because he wouldn't commit, which I think was like after a 7-year relationship or something after the preview. So good for her. Moira reminds me of Skelly. I can't remember her name. I think it was from season 3 of the UK, the one who like works for nonprofits and she's like the sweetest woman alive.
Oh, Camilla. I feel like Moira is a little quirkier than Camilla. Camilla was kind of like the straight man in a house full of crazies, whereas I feel like Moira has some quirks herself. But I definitely do think that these were probably the two right people for them to send in first coming in here.
I thought they were really cute. Rob, did you have any crazy thoughts about these first two women?
Yeah, I think that Sally ended up being a real person at the center of the action, especially in night number one, where a couple of the different guys were pining for her. I think she got picked basically three different times by guys in this episode, whereas Moira was kind of invisible after she ends up being linked up with James, and really had pretty much only one majorly memorable moment over the first 3 hours of the show.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Okay. Rob's a critic. He just hates it so much.
What? I hate Love Island?
I can just tell.
No, I thought it was fine. I actually liked the first night better than night two. I thought that tonight's episode was like a little bit more quiet, where I thought there was a little bit more. I liked getting to know everybody a little bit more in the first night.
Yeah, I do think that they were actually aided. I know we weren't expecting it, but I liked the 2 hour premiere. I thought it gave like a room to breathe, even though like I got to the end of the first hour and I was like, good episode. And then it kept going. I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I enjoyed these characters. I know last season we were a little bit worried about some people being, you know, smaller personalities. And it feels like they did learn from that. I mean, when you have Sally being the first one there and saying that she's looking for someone who loves Sally as much as Sally loves Sally, I feel like they really did a good job in finding people that are going to pop on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of people who pop on screen, Justine came in. She is a go-go dancer. I really liked how she said, like, you can look, but you can't touch. I'm not a stripper, which, like, I don't think you're allowed to touch strippers either, but, like, okay, Justine, you do you.
I don't know.
I've been to the strip club one time when I was, like, 18, and I was just mad that I got dragged there, so... Mm-hmm. If people want to, you know, tweet at us the rules of strip clubs,
I think that is right. I believe that is correct. That's called something else, I think, if you...
Okay, good to know. I'm so glad that one of us knows that. And then we got Caitlin, who calls herself a country girl. She is like, oh, semi-buff is good. Dad bod is good. She has... she says she loves tattoo pain. She has a inner bottom lip tattoo.
Yeah.
And Caitlin is
wild. Do you
remember
what her inner bottom lip tattoo says?
It says psycho.
Yeah.
Which the nice thing about that is tattoos on that area of your body actually are not like permanent. It will go away within a couple of years if she's not getting like constant touch-up.
Yeah.
Yes, like your Sir Splittington, exactly. So I don't think she will have that forever. I just can't imagine a grown adult wanting one of those tattoos. I feel like when I was like 16, Cobra Starship had a CD come out, and on the album was someone with an inner like bottom lip tattoo, and I was like, that's so cool. And
I have one.
I was wrong. Did you say you have one?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Dummy thick.
I was going to say, if you are going to get a tattoo that says psycho, probably the inside of your lip is the best placement for that. So at least she had the thought in order to do that.
I'm going to get psycho tattooed on my face, like above my eyebrow or something.
Yeah, why not?
Well, and face tattoos are a thing now, so like I might as well.
What do you two think of Caitlin with two N's? I feel like it's a little redundant.
Okay, I have met, as someone born, you know, in the early 90s, I've met many people named Caitlin, and I think I've met one with the double N before. Mm-hmm. It's very like, you know, her parents were like, oh, we love Caitlin, but it's just so popular. Like, we have to do something a little different. So they just plopped another N on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're setting your kid up to be a little extra when you throw on the extra letter at the end of the name.
Yeah.
And at the it came true with Caitlin, it seems like.
Yeah, like nobody ever looked at the name Caitlin. How do you pronounce this? Caitlin? Oh, two N's. Caitlin.
Caitlinen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I will now be spelling Scally's first name with two N's.
And Kirsten with two N's.
Extra. Yes. No, I'm not extra at all, so it doesn't work.
Brian with two N's is good.
There we go. I might adopt
I feel
that.
Like it's distinguished.
Yeah.
But I think probably get that Twitter handle.
If you spell Brian with two N's, I think that people would probably try to pronounce it like Brianne.
What if you have like Brian with two N's, but it's B-R-I-N-A-N and becomes Brennan.
Brennan. Hmm.
I'm going to take these suggestions on board and think about them for the next pod.
You do need to legally change your name to one of these options, so think long and hard about it, okay?
I mean, I already barely go by my first name, so this would be quite the change. But, you know, if I decide to go back there, it will be equally as different as I am used to.
Okay, good. So then we get our last woman in is Mackenzie. She has, I guess, exclusively dated millionaires, but she's very careful.
She's not
to point
looking
out
for
that.
They just happen
out.
To be millionaires.
Ugh, I would love to happen upon a couple millionaires.
I would love to have that problem myself. Like, oh, you're you have a private jet? Oh no, that's so hard. But yeah, so she I guess intimidates guys. She's like that girl that nobody can get with. I feel like she is setting herself up to be probably like one of the main women for sure. I feel like her and Caitlin left the biggest impact.
Yeah, I think it's between those two and Selly that really were the standouts in the first two nights for me. But I think Mackenzie, I feel like she probably knows what she's doing. But at the same time, I think Mackenzie is used to being the center of attention based on the intro package that we've got of her. And I'm excited to see where things go for her.
Yep. Mackenzie really found a way to set up a monogamous relationship that is like it looks like the most like lock solid relationship on the entire show, but also have a lot of drama in 3 hours of Love Island.
Yeah, don't tell her that she set that up. She does not want anyone to imply that she was putting her blockers up in front of all the other guys.
Whoa.
Oh my goodness. I don't even know what to say to that. So I guess well, Ariel comes in to ask the woman what they're into. And Rob, I have a very serious question for you.
Yes.
Do you know who Zayn Malik is?
Zayn Malik. Yeah, he is the guy from he's in the boy band One Direction.
Ooh.
Did you just Google that?
No, I did not. He's got like eyebrows, right?
He does
factually has eyebrows.
Caitlin says she likes a rugged type like Zayn Malik. And I just don't think any of the boys in One Direction could be described as rugged. Scally, I know you're a One Direction super fan. Would you agree with my assessment?
Oh, big One Direction stan. If you had to pick one as a rugged type, I guess you go Zayn. And maybe that is the pool that Caitlin has to choose from here. But I don't know if I would say Zayn is rugged as compared to the population as a whole.
Like, he's definitely the best looking one in One Direction, in my opinion. But like rugged? Oh, I don't know about that.
Not a lot of rugged boy banders.
Well, that's because there's some openings in the boy band community. I saw some tweets about that
yes,
today.
Did you see that Photoshop of the boy band that was myself, Akiva, Brian Cohen, not Brian Scally, and Puya?
I did, and I saw that it's called the Male Bag, which is not okay on many levels. Also, the Photoshop was not okay, and Akiva and I are in a fight because he tagged me, so I'd have to see it.
Yes. Akiva does not look okay in that photo.
He's
purple.
He's used to getting, you know, fan art where he looks, you know, dummy thick, so he didn't like that one.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone is going to be rushing to Twitter to see that one.
I'll give out that.
And now you have to retweet it.
I will not be putting that on my personal page. I did reply to it. Akiva tagged me underneath it. You can find it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. So now we get into like the actual start of the episode where the
at RoboJosh9000.
RoboJosh9000.
Yes.
We are in a fight. And if you're listening. Okay. So now we get into the men actually coming in. A man will walk in. They come in one at a time. The women have the opportunity to step forward if they are attracted to that person. And then the man gets to choose who they want to be in a couple with. And they do not have to pick the person who picked them, which is why I would like it better, I think, if the men came in first.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, we have Jeremiah. He is Southern. I can't remember. I wish I could remember anything we said literally last week about these people's gallery. I can't. So Justine steps forward for him, and he does not pick Justine. He picks Sally. And I didn't think Sally looked like stoked about this.
It's a terrible move. I mean, Jeremiah had the good move with like the joke, like walking and dancing in, like show off personality, because usually like it's a little, you know, stuffy when people are walking in. But for someone to step forward, you're not committed. Just pick Justine and then talk to everyone else later. But instead, like he just completely like deads Justine and moves on to Selly, who did not seem that hype to be coupled up with him to start with. So it's like you're burning two bridges right now.
It was a very bold move for the first guy out, which I guess they maybe expected that from him. And that's why Jeremiah came out first.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, did anything stand out to you about Jeremiah?
No, I thought Jeremiah was kind of a dud on the casting front for the first two nights of the show. I mean, a handsome guy, but I don't know if he had too much to say in two nights of the show. So I can't speak too much to him being there from an aesthetic point of view, but just in terms of being a character on the show, I could not tell you any distinguishing character traits about Jeremiah.
I want to clip that audio because I feel like we can use it a lot moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So next up comes James.
Not a big personality.
Yeah, definitely not a big personality. So and we get
does not have chemistry with Justine.
Yeah, certainly not.
Made very clear.
Yes.
He said, no, I'm not feeling it. So then we get James, who comes out. He has his glasses on, which I feel like he wasn't wearing in his cast photo, which I think does bring up the attractiveness when he wears his glasses. But he has, again, just like the worst tattoos ever. Like, they're good work, but just why?
What? You don't like the alien face?
I hate the alien face. I hate the lion. I hate that he has just like another language on him. I just think his tattoos are so ugly. And if he didn't have them, or if he had better ones, he would just be so good looking and therefore would have massive red flags. But he doesn't have them. And Allie Lasher agrees because she texted me being like, why is no one stepping forward for the ginger with glasses?
Hey, but he doesn't have a girl's name tattooed because that's tacky. The other one's classy alien tattoo that you could speak out of. Mm-hmm. But girl's name, no, don't go there.
Yeah.
That
is it
alien?
A girl alien?
Ooh.
Or I think it's a male alien.
Hmm.
I bet it's a gender neutral alien.
Non-binary alien.
I don't know that we know the gender identities of aliens, so it's hard to say.
Yeah,
but it's an ugly alien.
Oh, how dare you.
It's so like Scally warned me about this alien tattoo.
Yeah,
you know, it would creep me out. I gotta be honest,
it's so giant. Like, it feels like it's staring into your soul.
Yeah,
it's so ugly.
I used to be terrified of alien abduction. I don't worry about it too much anymore. I kind of feel like that would be like, you know, at least something novel to do, you know, be abducted by the aliens.
But yeah, at least if an alien abducts you, you get to leave your house.
Yeah, I'd be like, wait, are you guys wearing a mask? Can't go, where have you been? Social distancing.
Like, I'll go with you. Just stay 6 feet away from me.
Yeah, let me get my mask. Hold on. I used to be very terrified of that because I don't know if you've ever watched any of these shows, but then you got like basically you wake up in the middle of the night and then you are paralyzed and then the aliens come and they take you and they bring you to their ship and then they do a bunch of experiments on you.
I'm sorry, what shows? You said if you've watched any of these shows.
There used to be a lot of shows that would be on, like talking to people that this happened to, like Unsolved Mysteries and stuff like that.
I like my mysteries solved.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you don't know what I'm talking about?
I've definitely heard the trope, but I have not been a fan of most of those shows, I can't say.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch them. Vanessa thought they were stupid. So yeah, imagine
they're very
how
scary.
She feels looking down on me podcasting about Love Island.
Mm.
She's proud.
Yeah, I don't know. So no one steps forward for James, and he picks Moira. Moira says she didn't pick him because she's waiting for like an instant connection. And then I thought it was pretty cute how James was like, well, I feel an instant connection. And you could tell that she thought that was mm-hmm. sweet. And I think they are a very cute couple.
Yeah, they hit it off.
Yeah, I like them together. And I'm like, good, because in his intro video, he was like, I'm clingy. I want clingy. In Moira's, she was like, when I meet someone, I'm like, hey, let's make out. Let's have kids. So I think that maybe these two are pretty well matched already.
I just want to say that the situation that happened to James, that this would be, you know, other than the alien abduction, my worst nightmare. And I would just have to go home after I come out. I did my whole thing. And then Ariel says, all right, who wants to step forward? And nobody does. I was like, okay, thank you. Thank you. Good night, everybody. And I would just leave the villa.
Just went through a 2-week quarantine and pack your bags.
I'm too mortified by this whole situation. I really have to leave now.
See, I feel like for me, if that were to happen, I would be like, oh, none of them like me. Well, I'll show them what not to like and then be just a monster because I'm not good at interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
like that woman you liked on Too Hot to Handle that did not have a connection with anybody and then was just like a huge brat about the whole thing.
Okay. First of all, we all stand Haley for like 2 episodes before she quit. She was an icon and a legend. I don't see why you have to hate on her for not liking people. Mm-hmm. Maybe I related. I don't know. It's fine. So then we get Trey. Trey's the one with like the lip print tattoo on his chest. He played college football. He has done some things he's not proud of.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's proud of everything he's done.
Well, Justine says he has dangerous eyes, so I think that she probably had a good read there. Maybe looking past those later in the 3 hours, but she immediately flags up that he's done some things in his past.
Yeah.
Was Trey the one who said, you know, some people would call me a player and they're right?
Yes. And he's also the one person who has made out with 3 different women so far also.
Well, yeah. Turns out he's a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no shame in his game.
No. Definitely not. No.
He's Trey. And he will also, will try. I think Justine was complaining about Trey, that he has to try so hard, but that's what he does. He's Trey and he's always trying. He never will stop trying.
That is very true. Trey is not one to let things come to him. He is going to go up to every person in this villa. I like how he like immediately he's like, oh, like no one steps forward. Like, I'm going to stir the pot. Like, maybe not the best way to introduce yourself to a new group. But of course, I wonder if he would have picked Sally if she was not already paired up or if it was just like making a move in order to like shake up the villa.
Well, and that's what you need in your first 3 minutes on the show is to cause a debacle and get people upset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sally wasn't really too stoked on this one either, hey?
No, I think she said she was like, oh, like I kind of missed Jeremiah after he left. But it didn't seem like she was missing him for so long because I don't think we saw them talk again after that.
I don't think she would miss any of these people. I think if they all disappeared today, she'd be like, finally some alone time.
And if they talk about cool music, that's a big thing that she likes to talk about.
Or if they are her blood type, because apparently she says that she would like someone who could be an organ donor in the future, which seems like a lot of thought to put into things like this.
Okay, no, I actually thought that was really funny. It was weird how none of the women knew what to say to Ariel when she asked what their type was. Like, you've got people being like, oh, I don't know what I'm looking for. Oh, I want someone rugged. And then Sally being like, someone who could donate an organ to me if I need it. Like, I thought that was funny.
What type? AB negative.
Yeah, my type is O negative, okay?
For reals?
That is true. I'm a universal donor.
Oh, that's the same as me. So let me know if you need an organ.
I certainly won't call, you know, my dad or sister who are genetically related to me and also have the same blood type. I'll call you, Rob, if I need a kidney.
Okay. Well,
doesn't hurt to have options.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. We love that. If you ever need blood donated, Rob, you let me know.
Yeah, same.
So then we get Connor next. He's an auditor. He says he's going to use numbers to get numbers. But he's not good at that because girls make him nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And Scally, we manifested this.
Yeah. Like
Connor and Mackenzie.
See, I saw this relationship. You thought it might be a hiring opportunity for Connor, but I definitely think we have flagged this one up as a definite potential match. And I was a little worried that they were going to be boring because I do like both of them so far, but it seems like they actually might be our like solid but very messy couple.
And that's your favorite kind of couple on these shows.
Very much is my favorite kind of couple. Ones that are going to go the distance but going to give me drama the entire way is exactly who I'm going to glom onto.
We just need Connor to get into a bromance and you'll be on cloud nine.
Oh, very true.
Okay.
I'm still waiting.
Can I ask a question to both of you? Okay. Of course. Was Love Island season one. It does not seem like anybody here is even like talking about the game. How do we win? Do we want the money? Everybody's just like, oh, I just want to meet somebody. And nobody's talking about the game. Do you think that anybody, and maybe is Mackenzie that person that is calculating enough to say, okay, this is how we win? For instance, has David Bloomberg written rules of how to win Love Island? And if so, has Mackenzie read them?
I think that if David Bloomberg had written rules of Love Island, Mackenzie is certainly the type who would read them. But I feel like David Bloomberg probably wouldn't even watch Love Island.
Okay. All right. Step one, get David Bloomberg to watch Love Island. Step two, why X lost Love Island? Why EX lost Love Island?
Ooh, that's perfect. Yes. I'm glad you did the bell there because obviously we don't have it to for your good ideas.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if it's not making TV or if it's just spoken about, like how Justine and Jeremiah are like later in the episode, like, hey, I know that we have a friendship connection, but maybe we have more. Right. Like, nudge, nudge. Like, we have to stick around here. So you can't win if you don't stick around.
Can I ask, as somebody who did not follow all of Love Island season one, how do you win Love Island?
So at the end, So during the course of the season, there will be several votes that are open to Americans and Canadians on the Love Island app, where you get to vote, you know, who your favorite couple is, who your least favorite couple is. So couples will go home, you know, halves of couples will go home. And at the end, you'll end up with probably like 4 to 5-ish couples. And then the public votes on which couple is their favorite. And that couple splits $100,000.
They can choose. One person can choose to keep it for themselves.
Did they? But they didn't do that last year, though, did they?
I think they did. It just it rarely happens. But
it was so boring with Zach and Elizabeth.
Yeah, you knew that neither of them were going to take the money. But when it happens, at least on other shows, it is very exciting. So I'm always here for a prisoner's dilemma, or at least half of a prisoner's dilemma that they seem to be going with. So that is, you know, an added wrinkle at the end.
Yeah, so each person in that final couple that wins will get an envelope, and one of those envelopes will say it's the money, and that person gets to decide if they want to keep all of it or split it with their person.
But is there like a real strategy to how you do it? Like, what does America want the mess? Do they want the OTP? What are they looking for the winner?
So last year, America voted for, you know, the couple that linked up on night one and didn't really have any drama the entire time. They just were very lovey with each other. And America just rewarded them, even though there were much more interesting couples, Ray and Caro.
I think that America generally leans more towards wanting like the OTP, very like kind of bland coupling throughout the season. But also last season was only like three and a half weeks or about that, whereas this season is going to be six. So I think that getting screen time is going to be a big thing. And if you are not entertaining, I would presume that you would not be getting screen time throughout the season.
Yeah. And again, we thought this was going to be about 4 weeks again, and it's six.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell us this in advance. I don't think that's very courteous. Mm-hmm. That's all.
They don't like to tell you what's coming on Love Island.
Like, yeah, Love Island. Like, I feel like some, like, people are obviously very interested in, you know, making sure Love Island happens. They built a villa on top of a, you know, resort in Vegas, but they're not super committed to making sure that the audience knows what's going on. They're like, we're going to put this on your TV and you're going to watch it. And that's that. And that's how it works for Love Island, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. They were like, go to the apps and vote. I'm like, what? What are we voting on already? But
yeah, there's no vote yet. I re-downloaded the app and there's no vote yet.
Oh, good. But I mean, hey, they got to get the app download. So that's why you keep it ambiguous.
It's just, they're just really not considerate to the audience. So after Connor, we get Carrington, which I am like fairly certain Carrington is the one I said was the best looking and therefore is a toxic man. He like sprinted in. He talks about all the sales he makes. He calls himself an alpha. And I would like to say it again. I was right.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic. Toxic.
So I felt like Carrington had a real rise and fall where I think he came in and thought he was going to be sort of the object of everybody's affection. And he came in and very quickly no one wanted to be with him. And I think that he felt very inferior once the action all started at the villa.
Well, and isn't he just like a baby? How old is this
23.
Man?
He's 20. Okay, I thought he was 22, but yeah.
A literal infant. Mm-hmm. So
especially
I
when most of the women that they cast on the show are like 24 to 28. So it definitely does not surprise me that most of them were like, he just looks so young. He has a big personality, though, where I don't know that I would like love hanging out with Carrington in real life. He is at least entertaining on my screen right now.
Is he your lovable douche of the season?
I would not commit to that yet. It's definitely on the table. I mean, for him to run in and be like, girls look super hot, guys look like studs, and then just only pay attention to the guys, not pay any attention to Caitlin after she picked him, just like stand vaguely behind her until they call it out. Carrington is definitely a character, to say the least.
Yes. And so based on all of this, Jeremiah comes off of the sub bench and ends up in a couple with Justine. She says it's awkward, which it certainly is, because it could have just not been awkward if he had just picked her in the first place. Like,
yeah, definitely a mistake.
Just so awkward. Like, and it just made me like feel some sort of way about Jeremiah. Like, I don't like that he did that to Justine right at the start. I like that he ended up on the sub bench as a result. But I'm mad at him, and he's going to have to like do a lot if he wants to earn back my respect. So then that's it. They're all coupled up. It's normal. But wait, there's a twist. Johnny is coming in.
Uh-oh.
What?
Yeah.
He says that he treats girls like queens and that he's about the bro code unless you don't treat her right, in which case he will.
Doesn't sound like Johnny cares about the bro code very much.
No.
Well, Kate, to me, I do think, you know, as a woman, I think part of the bro code should be holding the other men in your life accountable for treating women well.
Sure, but that doesn't mean then stepping in when you see fit into that position. But
I mean, maybe that's not like the best, but I just wanted it on the record that I think that should be an important addition to the bro code.
Sure, I'm not disagreeing there, but I just found it curious for him to say, like, I am all about the bro code, but I will hook up with my friend's girlfriends. Mm-hmm. Like, an interesting dichotomy that he has going on.
Gross. What did you think about Johnny Rob? Do you love him? Do you hate him?
I thought Johnny was fine. You know, they sort of like held him back and then really like hyped him up like he was the catch of all the six guys. I'm not sure if necessarily I would have him ranked one out of six, but what did you two think about Johnny?
I thought the same thing. I feel like usually the UK does this like move where they save one person till the end. And generally, while everyone on the cast is absurdly attractive, it's like, okay, this like guy or girl, they're just like an absolute like supermodel coming out. And Johnny, while again, everyone on the cast is very attractive, it felt like a very even playing field between the six guys. So I also was curious why they saved Johnny. And he's 22. So it's not like, oh, he's like the older, like mature. No, got Johnny.
Who would you have saved for last if you were putting this episode together?
Well, that's the thing is, like I said, I feel like it's a very even playing field, and none of them really jumped out to me or to many of the women, since barely any of them stepped forward as all of them came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they got the chemistry right with this first mix of Islanders.
Mm-hmm. In season one, the person it was, they had brought in a sixth woman also, and she was sort of like the star of a lot of the early action going on, right?
Yes, Kira, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Kira. And so Kira was a lot of fun. She was a big personality. I do think that's the one part they did get right. I think Johnny is not afraid to mix it up. Like he said, he'll step in if someone's not treating a girl right. So he's going to do the same thing in the villa. But I don't know that everyone was looking at Johnny like he was the supreme catch. But at least he will step in and, you know, stir things up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need. So we get just kind of like some small conversations. I thought it was really funny when the women are talking about, oh, would they hook up in the house? Mackenzie's like, no. And Sally's like, no. You know what? Actually, no, I lied. I definitely would do.
Yeah, Sally's a character. Like I said, she definitely is one of the standouts in that top three for me.
Well, and I feel like in general, the people getting cast on Love Island are people that are willing to hook up on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most of them will say no. And then, oh, they get like the fantasy dream date overnight. And who knows? Everyone should do as they desire in the house. And I think that more people are willing to than are letting on in the first day.
Yeah.
It's been like 10 minutes. I guess that's fair.
They wouldn't be at the villa if any of them told the producers they would not hook up in the house.
Yeah.
Like, you could. More important than even your COVID-19 screening was the first question of, will you hook up in the house? No. Okay. Sorry. We're going to get this person with a questionable COVID test.
Those reality TV producers are definitely committed to doing the matchmaking. So they don't like it if people aren't going to play ball with that.
Yeah.
So we have the couples kind of hanging out a bit. Connor and Mackenzie seem to be hitting it off really, really well. She is a sports junkie, which Connor says is his dream girl. They both have been single for about 8 months. So, you know, basically just quarantine time. But at least, you know what? If that means that they've been quarantining, then I can further endorse this couple. I think they're cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like them so far. Like I said, I was a little worried after the first episode that they would be like a Zach and Elizabeth type where it was, you know, steady going and like kind of boring. But so far, I think that they are going to give us fireworks, at least early on.
At least Mackenzie will.
Yeah, which I'm here for.
Yeah. No, I think she's really bringing the drama in, even though she is like, they will not break up. They'll be together the whole show. Like, she has, you know, come up with ways to create drama between her and Connor and her and other people that are in the house. So I think that she is definitely going to be getting a lot of airtime.
Yeah, I feel like she's our Francesca, if we are going by too hot to handle comparisons. Yes. So then we have Sally and Trey, which, oh my God, he played football and she was head cheerleader. How cute is that?
It doesn't end up amounting to much, but yeah, it does seem like easy convo right off the bat. You know, Trey is pretty much going to have a good conversation with anyone that he's with, whether he has to force it or not. But I think that, you know, it's a cute first matchup.
Yeah. And then, you know, James and Moira are cute. They're vibing. She can't imagine it getting any better. Sally and Johnny also seem to be vibing. And this is where we find out that people from Virginia are real. Did you guys know that?
Yes. Well, it was an awkward conversation that started off by Sally with probably the weirder part of the exchange. She said, yeah, I'm from SAC. And that really threw Johnny off. He did not know. He did not know what she's talking about.
It would throw me off as well. So I felt very much like I could relate to being in Johnny's shoes. I would have absolutely no idea what Sally was saying there.
Mm-hmm. I'm still confused. Yeah. It's been a day. Like I'm like, oh, okay. It's one of those things where you're like, huh, what's that about? And then you're like, I don't care to look further into this. Yeah.
I believe she's saying she's from Sacramento.
Oh.
Which is a city in Northern California.
I have heard of Sacramento. I didn't know it was called Sac.
Nobody did. Except for Sally.
Well, that's what I'm calling Sacramento from now on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going on vacation to Sac.
Yeah. Going to go to visit Sac. Oh,
I've heard Sac is great this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Not with this kind of heat.
I just was
not
so caught off
for
on
SAC.
I was so caught up with her being like, wait, like there's people from Virginia, and Johnny's like, it was like one of the first states.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what to do, but like, what's going on with public education and SAC?
Do they drink heavily on this show?
They do have access to alcohol. I don't know to what extent they're going to have this summer.
Like, they don't want them super drunk. But I'm just wondering if this Virginia talk, is Virginia a real place talk, is maybe they've had a couple of drinks.
Hey, yeah. I mean, sorry, Frail Mary. Mm-hmm. You're not real.
Mm-hmm.
I did notice, like, a little bit later on in this episode or towards the end, Carrington seemed like he was completely wasted. So they definitely have some alcohol. Like he was not behind his eyes. He just wasn't there.
It might be watered down alcohol, but they're definitely supplied, you know, a good amount throughout the day.
They might just be dehydrated from being in that heat.
Yeah. Also true.
Like, they probably shouldn't be drinking too much.
No.
Get them some liquid IV.
Mm-hmm.
So then the challenge for the first episode is that they play suck and blow, which is, of course, you use a playing card. You have to transfer the card using only your mouths. And if you drop the card, you have to do the challenge on the card, which I think most people don't have the special deck specifically for suck and blow.
Yeah.
And anyways, I'm going to put it on the list of things COVID canceled. Suck and blow.
Suck and blow. Can I give you one of my Love Island pet peeves is that I hate all the games.
There is going to be one game that they play every time that is the most horrifying thing you've ever seen. And compared to that, every other game I can
fruit
live with.
Passing?
The food passing, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard you talking about it on the preview show.
It's one of the most disgusting things in the entire universe.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know what they're going for. I know they're just trying to, like, they did the same exact stuff on Too Hot to Handle. It's like, hey, let's do an activity. And then part of the activity is you just have to make out with random people. But I don't know. If they're hoping that people are going to get jealous or the viewers want to see people making out. All of it was just a blur. I don't know who kissed who was mad. Forget the whole thing.
I think if you're going to do this, there were a few where it was like, okay, so make out with the person that you think is the hottest other than your partner. Like, that always should be a rule where, like, you got to at least have things being mixed up consistently throughout this game.
Yeah, it was really not notable. Connor and Mackenzie had like their first kiss, and then they decided that it doesn't count as their first kiss, and so they still haven't had their first kiss officially.
Mm-hmm. Stop it.
They go on to have multiple kisses in the next day's challenge too, and those don't count either.
You know they don't count.
This game, it sucks and it blows.
Well, I mean, it was at least marginally more interesting than seeing Johnny and Caitlin, and Johnny's like, oh, your eyes changed colors.
Yeah, she's like a mood ring.
Has anyone ever told you that your eyes change color?
No, my eyes do not change color.
I guess you, yeah, you have dark eyes. Scally, do your eyes change color?
A little. I have hazel, so they go between green and brown. But I like Caitlin saying that her eyes turn gray so they can help tell when it's raining outside, which I think most people's eyes can tell when it's raining outside. Yes.
There's a 60% chance it's already raining.
And also, can I give a spoiler that Caitlin's eyes will not be gray anytime soon. Very dry.
Yeah, so dry. I have been told before the eyes change, and I think people are just not paying very good attention. They're just two different colors.
Each eye is a different color?
Yeah, one of them is like more green, and one of them is more blue. There's like yellow spots. It's weird. Then sometimes people call them my husky eyes. And I go,
that sounds rude.
I don't, I mean, I've been hearing it for many years and I could not possibly
Multiple
care.
Multiple people say that?
Yeah. It's apparently the go-to if someone has like slightly different color eyes. It's like a husky. The dog.
The dog.
Like the dog. And I go, if you want to call me a bitch, there's easier ways to do it.
I think diachromia is more common in huskies, but wouldn't be my go-to.
Wow.
Scally, are you a veterinarian? Break out his biology degree.
No, I just, the term that stuck with me.
Wow.
Oh my God. I'm really impressed with that. I feel like I'm definitely not someone on this podcast. Scally, you can take it on from here.
The equivalent to no one stepping forward.
So Carrington and Caitlin have their first kiss, and Carrington pulls a very smooth move where he says, oh, you've got something on your lip, and then goes right in for the makeout. Is that what people are doing these days?
Yeah, I thought this was an awkward one because she was like, oh, like it was smooth. And he was like awkwardly rested his hand like on her leg. And she was like, yeah, I know what you're doing. And then he was like, oh, you have red on your lips. I was like, no, those are pink. But he definitely leaned in. She leaned back at first, but Caitlin claims it was a good kiss at least.
It didn't look enjoyable.
Seemed as though either Carrington had like a moment of awareness, or either a producer or somebody said to him like, hey, you know that you, if you don't have a partner, you could be eliminated. And he's like, oh, I better go try to make things work with Caitlin.
Oh, God. Yeah, that it adds up. It really does.
It seemed like very much out of nowhere. He's like, hey, I know that we haven't connected, but I feel like that we need to make out.
Well, and everyone was talking about how much they wanted to make out at the start of this. So I guess that fits. Mm-hmm. It fits the bill.
They had been quarantined for so long.
They've been inside for so long now. So Trey and Caitlin then are having a little hangout. And they start talking about astrology.
Yep.
Because Trey is a Sagittarius and Caitlin is a Gemini. And she says, we get along well because we're kind of the same, which what she means is that they are sister signs because they are the exact opposite of each other on like the calendar. So it's like, I'm a Sagittarius. My half birthday falls in Gemini, and like Gemini's half birthday would be in Sagittarius, that kind of thing. And so sister signs are supposed to be like similar. I don't know if they're actually compatible, but it's just their sun signs anyway, so it doesn't matter. So then Caitlin takes Carrington's move. but opposite and goes, is my upper lip sweating? And then they kiss. Is this how people are dating? Is this why I am not dating? Because I don't know these moves?
Mm-hmm.
See, I was so confused because later she's like, yeah, Trey like kisses me and I totally wasn't expecting it. And I was like, did I read this situation wrong too? Because I feel like that was an obvious invite, but maybe that Caitlin actually was not inviting Trey to kiss her, but I feel like that had to have been what was going on.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It seems like just an invitation.
Just genuinely asking, like, is my upper lip sweating is not a question I normally would ask.
And like, here's the thing. If it was, I feel like I would not want someone to kiss me if I'm all sweaty in the face.
Yeah. I was going to say that maybe under normal circumstances, that does sound like an invitation, although in 120 degree Las Vegas heat, that it is just an observation.
Is my entire face and body sweating right now?
Profusely sweating. Yes. Just checking. Okay.
I guess that kind of clears it up a little bit.
Mm.
We get, you know, Justine has like the classic thing of not having made a connection. And then everyone goes to bed. Trey and Sally are all about each other. Carrington and Caitlin are not touching at all.
Right. This is one of my favorite things about the show, where I like to see sort of like they give you the still shot of sleeping positions of the couple. And I know it's very editorialized because over like 9 hours, I'm sure it shifts a million times, but you can really see the body language there of, okay, who's spooning, who's facing opposite directions, who couldn't be further apart. This is a great snapshot of every relationship.
Well, and do you, like, I know that there's lots of people who would have theories about, you know, how a couple sleeps, what that means about them as a couple. Do you buy into that, Rob?
Well, I think I do buy into that because I do think that is a very good barometer of how my personal relationship is on any given day.
Oh no.
If I'm going to bed and, you know, my wife and I, we are facing opposite faces going opposite direction, she's looking east, I'm looking west, chances are there's some tension.
Yeah, if someone's saying mind the line.
Yes, yeah, like let's establish where the border is. There's a neutral zone. Do not cross it.
That has like three pillows and a teddy bear in the middle. Like, that was definitely the situation for one of the two of these couples.
Yeah. So I buy into this.
Oh God. I feel like at one point I was like very much like, oh, what does it mean? How like a couple sleeps together? And then it means nothing. I think.
I think where you start, I think, means something.
That probably makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm. Especially, yeah.
Yeah.
This is why we have Rob here.
Eventually, everybody's
got to
get comfortable. Yeah.
Rob's here to give real advice on long-term relationships.
Yeah, that's what you need from me.
So then the next day, we kind of find out that Caitlin and Carrington aren't really feeling it. Caitlin says that Trey is like a big brother to her. It's a lot.
I don't know that I would tell my big brother that my upper lip was sweating.
Real quick, you know, had this been a regular year, you know, last season, of course, what a stellar job they did casting Big Brother 21. I think it goes without saying. It was just you know, we're reminded constantly what an incredible job. But a lot of those people were supposed to be people that wanted to be on Love Island, that somebody had the bright idea, hey, let's put them on Big Brother. So if this was a regular year, who from this cast probably would have ended up in the Big Brother house instead of on Love Island?
Ooh. Going based off of what happened last year.
Mm-hmm. Number one is Mackenzie for me with a bullet.
Mackenzie.
I don't know. I feel like I think it might be Caitlin.
Hmm. Another Caitlin, new Caitlin.
A new Caitlin.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd enjoy her a lot, that's for sure.
I think the number one pick is Carrington.
That's fair.
Wait, what, did any of them go to like a Texas school? I don't remember which one they like to go for.
Yeah.
There's like a specific school in Texas that they love to cast someone from.
Yeah,
I think it's Texas A&M.
Yeah. All I could think about was Texas Tech from when I like had them winning March Madness and came in second place. And it was like pretty cool that I picked them with coin flips.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the only school in Texas I remember.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean how Sally chooses who to go home with at the end of the night?
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Maybe Sally and I have more in common than I thought. Oh, God. Yeah, I feel like this whole second day was just so much conversation that I didn't really get anything from. Like, Scally, did you notice anything really happening that second day that meant anything?
No, the only one that I picked out was where Connor and Mackenzie are talking. And he's like, I have one question for you. Do you feel like you've been given a fair shot? Like, oh, that's not like a first, second day question that I immediately would jump to.
But they,
I like that they both were immediately like, oh, you know, I'm so judged on my looks. And I'm so they at least bonded mm-hmm. over that. But I thought it was quite the deep question to, you know, fire at someone yes. on the second day of knowing.
And that's the question that I'm sure is on all of America's mind. Mackenzie. That do you feel like that you've been treated okay by society because you're so beautiful? Have you been given a fair shake in life?
I think it's something we don't talk about enough is how hard life is for the profoundly attractive.
Profoundly attractive, yes. All people look at her and they see her blonde hair and her big boobs and they just, you know, that she doesn't get a fair chance. Somebody should do something.
They think she's just another dumb blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, I blocked that out because it was so troubling to me.
Also, her last name is Dipman. I feel like not a great last name.
There's some. Oh, one of the other last names is McCool.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I feel like I would be rushing to get rid of Dipman by trading up to McCool.
Yeah.
See, I feel like people are like, oh, just. You know, get married to change your last name. Just pay the money to legally change your last name if you're that worried about it. You can make up whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Connor's last name is Trot.
Mackenzie Trot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's like a horse.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, no. So the end of the second day, it's the recoupling.
Yeah. Could we touch on that Caitlin decides that she needs to come clean to Sally about that Trey made out with her?
Yeah, and Sally seemed to care a lot about that, right? She really was concerned.
I don't think that was the reaction that Caitlin was hoping for.
Well, was Caitlin trying to manufacture some drama for the TV show?
Think
is that
so.
What you're getting at?
Okay. Yeah.
I think she wanted something of like, hey, they just want to let you know that I'm so irresistible. Trey, he kissed me. It meant nothing to me. I don't even like him. I just want you to know. She's like, yeah, we're totally fine.
I saw during the game. No, later. Oh, okay. I don't care about that either. Like,
yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah,
like tries to give her an out and Caitlin is not taking it. I think Caitlin is the star of this show right now.
She's good.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm nervous we're going to lose her in this first week, but I'm hoping that we don't.
I will be devastated. So we get the recoupling where, you know, Johnny picks Sally and Trey says, yeah, I would have done the same thing. They kiss and Sally says this kiss with Johnny is amazing. She has butterflies. So they're the new hotness, but wait, there's new girls coming in.
Uh-oh. Right.
Well, great. You know,
new girls times and the old charm guys.
Third time's the charm for Sally. Took a couple tries and a couple guys, but she's with Johnny now and they're solid.
So our new girls coming in are Rachel and Kirsten.
Yeah.
Night two action. I've never seen Kirsten spelled like this in my life.
Yeah.
With an A-N at the end. Like, I've seen Kirsten. I've never seen and Kirstan.
Yeah, they haven't updated the website yet with the new people. What is the spelling of Kirstan?
So it is spelled K-I-E-R-S-T-A-N.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot.
This is like that they had an artificial intelligence like scroll through Instagram and then create like 14 new spellings of names of people that would be on Love Island. This is one of them.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where they'll do like a challenge where it'll be like, take a normal name and then you're going to replace like every, however, you're going to add like an E after every three letters or whatever. And then you get the rest. I don't even know. It's just so weird. I'm not normally one to tell someone their name is spelled wrong, but I think in this scenario, I'm uniquely qualified.
Yeah. It's like very like Game of Thrones books of like, let's just take a normal human name and sort of like add extra letters in there. Like, I'm Robert with two B's and a Y instead of an E.
Kirstan's parents very clearly just could have added an extra N on the end of the name and called it a day.
You're right. That's exactly what's missing. Wow. Wow. So the text messages to both of them, they're going to the secret jacuzzi on the roof for their dates with the new girls. So Jeremiah is going to be going on a date with Rachel and Carrington will be going on a date with Kirstan.
Again, I just want to say, these people should be in cold water. You do not need... listen, any body of water is probably a jacuzzi anyway. Right now in Las Vegas, you did not need to put them in hot water.
Like, first of all, they shouldn't have any alcohol. They shouldn't be in hot water. They should be inside until the UV index drops below a certain level. I'm concerned about their health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the date should be in an ice bath for the two of them.
Yeah, for five seconds.
When Carrington and Jeremiah have their confessional about how they are deserving, funny, handsome, good guys, like Carrington was like blackout drunk in this moment. You could just tell because he's like, we're deserving. We're funny. We're handsome.
Yeah.
We're good guys. We're overlooked. And I was like, what is happening? Like, he is not well.
Yeah, I think he might have been a little bit depressed that things were not going well with Caitlin. I get the sense that Carrington is not a guy who has faced a lot of rejection, and then coming out to Love Island and not having it go well with his match might have been taking it kind of hard. He seemed super bummed out in the first episode.
Yeah, see, I do think this is peak for Carrington's modesty was also in this confessional.
See, and I feel like that's one of the best parts of Love Island is you get to see people who normally don't have any sort of like barriers or obstacles in their everyday life face rejection for the first time. I wonder if he'll learn how to get over that. I don't know.
I don't think so.
It doesn't bode well for sure. So then Rachel is 21. She's from Minneapolis. She doesn't want to waste time, and she picked Jeremiah because he looked the tallest slash the best looking, which is relatable content only. Mm-hmm. What do we think of Rachel?
I feel like I have no impression of Rachel. I was like really hoping to get a bio because I was like, oh, like I, you know, feel pretty attached to these people after going through like the preview and like making fun of all their bios. And I don't have legitimately anything from Rachel through the rest of the episode.
You feel attached?
You know, vaguely. Like, I'll be sad to lose one or two of them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I felt like that Rachel was at least more personality than Kirstan. I think we find out later on that Rachel has a superpower. At least that there's like a little bit of a pseudo love triangle where Jeremiah is only interested in Rachel, but he still needs to dump Justine. So at least she brought something to the story, Rachel.
Yeah, Kirstan comes in saying that she's here with her new friends and points at her breast implants.
I believe she says her new babies.
Her new babies. Oh, and she said, "You can look, but you can't touch yet."
Yeah,
would make a great go-go dancer.
Great call. Now, Kirstan actually gave me the kind of the same energy we got from Kristen last summer, the one who had like set someone's bed on fire and
had
been arrested.
Same exact thought. I was like, this girl, don't mess with her.
I was like, she will light your bed on fire.
Yeah, no, Caitlin, step away. You have no interest in Carrington anymore. She's Kirsten's now.
Well, and I think that Caitlin felt that. Like, she seemed scared. She's like, yeah, no, you can have him. We're just friends. And that's where the voiceover guy, who we haven't really talked much about today, says that they have strawberry feels forever.
Yeah.
Hated that.
Not his strongest line. We've said he's improved, but, you know. We're getting warmed up back into the season.
He's gotta listen to the podcast so he can get better at this again. Like, come on, Matt Hoffman, mm-hmm. Get it together.
Yeah. Don't love Matt Hoffman's picture on the CBS website as cast photo.
Oh God, well, I have to go look.
I don't know if that was there when you did the cast preview. But...
It definitely was, but I didn't notice it. Oh, God. Oh, no. Okay. His eyes are too close together. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why it's startling.
Yeah, it's like a bad DMV photo.
Well, I guess that's why he does voiceover work.
Yeah. Oh.
Poor Matt Hoffman.
Hey, where Matt Hoffman stands in this house.
He's fun. I like the voice, the narration.
Yeah, I like when he gets like real mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on him to pull out a couple jokes. But I mean, he's setting some up with like the Irish bank of Connor and Mackenzie. So he's getting in his groove.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Good call. So now everyone is back together as one happy Instagrammily, which I think is how we should all refer to our online communities moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rob has an Instagrammily.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. I like Instagrammily.
I don't know why that like made me laugh so hard, but I chuckled for sure.
Kirsten, do you like that better than in The Sims when they go on Simstagram?
Simstagram is definitely a better pun.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes sense, but Instagrammily makes me laugh more.
It describes it well, since it is the reason the majority of these people applied for the show.
Mm-hmm.
One, let's just hope they get more followers than the people last year did.
Yes, very that.
Why did they not get a lot of Insta followers?
I don't think they did. I don't think that people from last summer really captured the audience too much.
Who is the biggest star from last summer? The girl with the curly hair?
Yes, I would say that Caro is 100%.
Caro. Yes.
And she has just over 400,000 followers.
Mm. That's pretty good. I mean, it's not, you know, the British Love Island, they'll pull in like over a million if you're on for, you know, six episodes. But the people that made it all the way on last season were not. So I think that, you know, at least because they pushed streaming so hard on this, I think that they'll do a little better.
I had a run-in with Caro from Love Island from last year when I went to the Big Brother finale, if I could tell a name drop story.
Please do.
So I went to the Big Brother finale from Big Brother 21. And so that they had like, and while you're doing the interviews in the backyard, they also have like an after party. And so there were some alumni that were there. And so when we were coming out, I was like walking out with Taryn and Derek, who works with me. And we ended up like getting into the elevator to go back up to the parking garage. And that there was Caitlin with one N from Big Brother 20, who was very much like Carrington on the start of day two. Swaggy C, Bailey, Caro. I think that Ika might have also been in there also, and we're going in the elevator, and all these lunatics decide to just start jumping up and down like in a moving elevator as hard as they can, like they're trying to like dislodge the elevator, and It was fun, but it was also terrifying. And somebody, there was an Instagram video of it. Somebody like posted it on. There was also like some like Big Brother fan site like filming this whole thing and captioned it on Instagram. And it was a very terrifying moment.
That is very much a first year of college move.
Yeah, I almost died with very drunk people from reality TV.
Well, and I'm sure that Taryn loved that experience.
I think he liked the excitement.
Yeah, once you were talking about it, I did remember seeing that pop up on Twitter.
I've never seen that. So if someone should find that and send it to me, because I'm not going to do that for myself.
Yes. Okay.
So now they're all together, and Mackenzie very quickly steps forward as the leader of the group. She is establishing the boundaries. She's talking about who are established couples and like back off of those men. That did not go across too well.
No, not great. I mean, I know that she says she wasn't trying to come off possessive. I think she was a little bit, but maybe not in the way that like the jokes kept coming at her.
She said, "I'm being painted as a jealous woman." Like, yeah, it has been 48 hours.
Yeah, I was getting some big Franzel energy from Mackenzie here, where she says this thing that's like in jest, but like kidding, hashtag not kidding, of like, hey, talk to whoever you want, but I just want to let you know this is a committed relationship, kidding, but also not kidding. And then when they're like, boy, that was really possessive, like, oh, why are these people talking about me?
She said, did I say that?
My
it just
God,
slipped out.
You guys.
Oh, did I really just say that?
And then, okay, talk about big Franzel energy. Then on top of that, so she was upset that somebody said something to her. And then she went in the house crying. And then she got a second upset out of this, that then she was upset that Connor didn't follow her into the house to see how she was doing.
And when they had a conversation about this, it made me so uncomfortable because Connor just keeps being like, just breathe. Don't worry. Just breathe. And if I was upset about something and someone told me to just breathe, I'd punch them in the throat.
Yeah, that's not good.
No,
it's not good. It's like when you tell someone to calm down and it just makes them more mad.
Yep.
Hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But in between, we got Johnny and Sally are actually like, I think, super cute. But the voiceover mentions how she needs to wipe a gallon of saliva off of her face, which is not a cute thing to say.
No, she's just sweating. It's on her upper lip.
She has a sweaty upper lip. Okay, Matt Hoffman.
It's just normal.
Just normal.
It's what happens in Vegas.
Yeah. I think you can get Botox to stop excessive sweating on body parts.
But I heard if you get the Botox to stop sweating, the sweat will just come out of like a different area.
Oh, you think that's what she did? Do you think that maybe she got like the armpit Botox like Christmas Abbott did, and then that she, now it's coming out different places?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think it was Morgan Ouellette also got the like armpit Botox, and then her face gets super sweaty now.
I mean, it makes sense.
Definitely
like,
have heard
like,
that.
Like the sweat has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems like a waste of perfectly good Botox to use it for sweat purposes. So during this day, there's kind of the Caitlin Kirsten conversation of like, Carrington is with Kirsten now. Caitlin is not going to try and stop that. Kirsten takes James away from Moira.
Yeah, but this seemed excessive.
I was upset about this.
Right.
Yeah, did not see this one coming. Like, I really thought that they were, you know, James and Moira were pretty solid. So I was surprised to see him all like, I'm down to get to know everyone. Like, what?
He's like, how many times have people called you pretty? Like 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what kind of line is that, first of all?
I did feel like that James was trying to say like, hey, Carrington's a cool guy, right? I did feel like that he was at least trying to get her to go with Carrington. But he did come across a little flirty with Kirsten.
Yeah, it seemed like that at first. And then he's like, well, you know, I clicked with Moira night one, but she's shine. I'm not.
Poor Moira.
Poor Moira. I like her. I'm glad that James had to go through 150 hours of tattooing. He deserves the pain. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he has to show for it, is that alien.
Oh my God. Like 150 hours. And that's what he has.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could actually get probed by aliens in real life and it doesn't take that long. I mean, they get you, you know, in and out in the course of a night.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing...
You're back in your bed by the time your alarm is going to go off.
I can tell you've thought about this a lot, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, I think the alien tattoo itself is probably no more than 12 hours of tattooing.
Yeah.
Just the alien.
Still too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely too much. Like, again, at least it's good work. Like, it's not ugly tattoos that are also poorly done. But I hate them so much. I'm really upset with him for what he did to Moira there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was up. She was hurt.
She was right. And in her confessional, she's like, stay away from him. And I'm like, oh, say that to her face. But also, like, don't say it to her because Kirsten is scary.
Yeah. And everyone's going to then call her possessive. So don't.
Oh, no. Yeah. You can't be called possessive. It's the worst thing you could be called.
Mm.
So then we get the challenge for episode two, which I don't like that they have a challenge every single episode so far. I feel like it's better to actually get to know the people, but this one is excess baggage, where they go through like incredible production value with these suitcases. Okay. Obviously.
Now, I know you guys are game show fans. Did you guys ever watch Baggage with Jerry Springer?
Yes, big fan. big fan.
Yeah,
I was more of a Card Sharks girl.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's kind of the same idea as the show is, that people have small, medium, and large baggage.
Okay.
And then you open it up. It's like a dating show, and they find out like everybody's baggage, and then the person that is playing also has baggage.
So people have baggage is the takeaway.
Right, like I'm a never nude.
It would be like pretty crazy baggage, like things that you definitely like. All three should have been deal breakers, but they kept going.
Like what? I want more information.
I mean, there's an episode where Big Brother 12's Kristen is on, so I'm sure you could find that somewhere. Yeah, she is on.
What?
Recently resurfaced on Twitter with some questionable ideas, but she is on an episode of Baggage. I don't remember specifically what her baggage was, but
I think it was she had sex on Big Brother House.
That probably was one of them. Actually,
my medium baggage is I've had sex on live stream cameras on a reality TV show.
But it's only medium because there's blankets and stuff. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the way they did this is that the baggage comes down. It goes into a wheel to see who will guess the baggage. So the person who gets it opens up the suitcase. There will be a card with a secret about one of the other islanders. And then they guess which person it is by kissing them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's girls versus boys, and the girls get to go first. So really quickly...
Can I rant about the game for a couple of moments?
Please, take as much time as you want to rant about this game.
First off, it was a fun idea for a game. Okay, let's learn some secrets about the contestants. Let's learn some baggage about the contestants. Great. All right, first off, no stakes whatsoever. There was not a prize. There was not anything. If you get five right, you will have a party tonight. No stakes whatsoever. Then people were taking turns. Again, you weren't playing for an advantage or a special room or anything like that. On top of that, also, that they were going so fast that I don't even know who most of the baggage ultimately belonged to. And then people just took the opportunity to make out with whoever they felt like making out with. So it wasn't, people weren't even trying to guess. There were four guesses in a row that were all Jeremiah. And Jeremiah already got a thing. It was not Jeremiah. Like we totally lost the thread of the game.
Yeah, they were not taking it too seriously at all. But thankfully, I wrote down all the secrets and whose they were. Good. So if you want to know everyone's baggage, I need to reset. We can run
like,
through it.
I was like, wait, what's happening? And because it's like, who are they guessing? And then who it actually was? Wait, what?
Yeah, it was a lot and it went really fast. I was like trying to write it down and I kept falling behind and I felt like I was in school trying to take notes and it was really stressful. And it was for absolutely nothing. You're right. So first was who slept with a woman more than twice his age. They guessed Carrington and they were correct. It was Carrington.
Yeah. I mean, the math checks out on that one. I mean,
yeah.
It's still like ucky to me. But whatever, because he's a baby, you know? Mm-hmm. So then it was caught in the act, had to run out of the house naked, getting chased by dogs.
I also want to say that Carrington also seems like that he would brag about that he is also the person that had sex with a woman who was twice his age.
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like, he's like this. I was going to make a reference, but then I was going to date myself, so I'm not going to do it.
No, please, make the reference.
Yeah, he's the Stifler of the group here. And you don't even know who that is, right? Yeah.
No, I got that one.
It's fine.
We're older than you think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think it was actually a different kid in the American Pie movie had sex with Stifler's mom.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But who could remember that kid?
Who could remember that detail, what that kid's name was?
Get that loser. We don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Prepare to be Boomer Rob incoming tweets tomorrow.
I don't think American Pie is like Boomer.
No.
Okay.
Would not qualify.
Because those came. Yeah. No, those came out. I don't know. When I was like early teens, maybe just before. I don't know. We watched them when I was 13.
Oh, wait. You're talking about your age, not the year.
Yeah, no, my age when I was like
it's like 1999 approaching my early teens. Yeah,
I don't know. I should have never watched those movies in the first place.
No, nope.
Nobody should have. So, for the caught in the act and had to run away, getting chased by dogs, which I want more information on that story. They guessed Connor, but it was Jeremiah.
Who caught him? Like somebody's parents? Like the woman's husband?
I want more information. The dogs walked in.
The dogs got him. Yeah.
They said, not on my watch. Yeah. Chased him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one I had clocked for Jeremiah, though. Like, could picture the walk, the run that he had coming into the villa. Very much saw that running out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I mean, this seems like a nightmare to be naked and chased down by like rabid dogs.
Like, it's already a nightmare to have to run at all.
Yes, with no shoes.
Let alone naked and dogs and, like, you just got caught. Like, that sounds truly heinous.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care for that.
Yeah.
Then we got who slept with a friend's girlfriend just to see if they could.
Yeah, what kind of insanity is this? With, like, who's the worst friend of all time?
Like that, you know what? Actually, not a friend at all. I'm gonna put that bold stance out there.
And this is what was so frustrating here, because like, oh, the only person that would do this is Trey. Like, that's I've seen Trey on my TV for 8 minutes, and I know he is the only person who's capable of even having this thought of, hey, you know, because I've never thought this. First of all, I don't have a friend. But if I did have a friend, it would never cross my mind to be like, I wonder if I could sleep with my friend's wife.
Well, it was even more bizarre,
I guess.
Because wasn't it Jeremiah that was looking down the aisle? Like, I got to find who the Judas is here. It's like, it's you.
Yeah, it's you, Jeremiah. Yeah. Like,
real dead. Why are you playing coy? He said he had things that he was not proud of in his past. And I think we found one.
Bringing the big Jerry BB10 energy to Love Island.
That's also
whoever did
Jerry is short for Jeremiah.
That's very much my mother's family's way of dealing with things too, is calling each other a Judas. Feels very comfortable for me.
Yeah. He was that Trey is the guy who's in the mafia, but is like, hey, if we find out who is in the mafia in this game, that they're dead to me. I'm never talking to them again. Anybody who's in the mafia.
Yes, very, very dramatic.
And then also when the town goes to sleep, then he sleeps with everybody's girlfriend. Just to see if he can get away with it.
Just to see if he can.
While Jordan Kalish is taking too long.
That's why they call it nighttime stuff.
Yeah, he's doing nighttime stuff.
He's doing nighttime stuff. So then there's, which Islander made out with a woman while her boyfriend was standing right next to her?
What is this? How did this even happen?
Again, this is even more questionable than the dogs, I think.
Yeah.
Like, what is the situation where you're, I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, who is this woman's boyfriend? Jerry Falwell Jr.?
That's not good for, I'm sorry. For me, personally, that doesn't work.
Different reference that we didn't get.
Now, I'm assuming now there's going to be the Boomer Rob.
No. I think that if you get it, you got it.
Okay.
Well, I feel stupid now.
No,
so
it's topical.
This is like when Scally was talking about
joke.
The different color eyes. Yeah. So then there's... Oh, yeah. So for that one, they guessed Jeremiah again, even though he's already been guessed numerous times and has won. But it was Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I guess that's what he meant when he said if someone doesn't treat their woman right, he will.
Yeah.
He steps in right there, whether you're there or not.
And so then it was, who has had a threesome with two married women? They guessed James, and it was James. And he said these women came up to him and said, will you be our plaything for the night?
This is a weird story.
Yeah.
Where were they? Like, I have a hard time thinking that a lot of this stuff is grounded in reality.
Yeah, you think these are fake stories that people made up to get on the show?
I think some of this is fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think probably getting chased by dogs is fake.
Yeah, because if we really talk this through, so these two women, they're best friends, I guess, that they're not women that are married to each other, we should presume, right?
Oh, maybe they were.
That is possible.
Yeah. I feel like the story is less exciting if it's two women who are married to each other. Nobody's being cheated on in that scenario.
Yeah, that's fair.
Why does there need to be cheating for it to be exciting?
I don't know. It may, well, when you say like, hey, I once had a wild night with two married women, like I think that the implication isn't that the women are married to each other.
Well, that's like, a loophole,
These two women are cheating on this. I mean, they could be married to other women. But you think there's some cheating going on.
Oh, then it's really exciting if they're both cheating on another woman.
That's plot twist.
Yeah, and they got James right away because I think, some actual process of elimination. There's not that many more people it could be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was it was like a scene from 50 Shades of Grey when this person lost their virginity in a one-night stand. So I guess...
What does that even mean?
I think it means abusive based on everything I've heard about 50 Shades of Grey. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was...
which scene? It was a lot of boring scenes in that movie. I tried to watch it. I couldn't get through it. Not all the scenes are good.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I think the implication is supposed to be it was one of the quote-unquote good scenes. Ugh. But who knows? They guessed it that it was Carrington, but it was Connor. And Mackenzie is excited by that there's another side to him other than just being a gentleman. But I think she's confused. So I think that what she got from this was that he could be like a dominant person. But I think if he was losing his virginity in that way, it was not that way.
Yes.
I think he's probably being submissive.
Yes. Because it's not as if Connor was not just well prepared for this one night stand. I think Connor went to someone else who had all of the materials on hand.
Yes.
So I don't know how Mackenzie will feel about that when she figures it out, but
yes, you're saying he was more the Anastasia in the equation.
Oh,
there
no.
we go.
Oh, God. Well, I hope he signed a good contract.
He's an accountant.
Yeah. That's Kate. There's the sound on TikTok right now of a person being like, I'm a struggling actor, but if anyone asks what I do, I say I'm an accountant. Nobody asks any questions about that. And then a bunch of people who have like OnlyFans have started lip syncing to it, being like, when you've made all your money selling foot pics this month and you can't tell your family, and it's like, what do you do? I'm an accountant. Where do you work? At a place where accountants work. Maybe that's Connor.
That's true. He didn't specify.
Yeah, he didn't put it together. It's like, does he like what he does? Yes, he's an accountant. So then the women end up with 3 points, and then it is the men's turn. And based on this, it's very clear that they didn't show all of it because they only showed 5.
Really picking up the pace when we got to the women.
For the men's thing. So let's get it together. So first it was, who flipped a coin to decide which boy to go home with? And that was James. And so James guesses Moira because he wants to make out with Moira.
Yeah.
But it was Sally who says that was in her wild days.
Yeah.
I think Sally's still in her wild days.
I think anyone who's going on Love Island is in their wild days.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
I think.
Do you think that the guys were involved in the coin toss? Was it like, all right, this is heads, this is tails. All right, call it in the air, okay?
I feel like that's
getting
much
heads,
more
okay, and then one the other one, okay, all right.
Robert,
heads or tails? Who's getting tails?
Not both.
Yeah, only one.
You can only have one. You know what? A wild choice. But hopefully it worked out for her. Then the second one, which I felt did not fit with any of the other ones, was which Islander went number 2 on the side of the road because the line at the club was too long to get in? They guessed Mackenzie, which I thought was really funny because I feel like Mackenzie's the type of person who's like, girls don't poop.
Yes.
But it was Moira. She's like, I just took off my underwear after and then went into the club.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to know any other details about this story. I mean, was there an accident that happened also? Why did she need to throw away her underwear?
I mean, I'm assuming she used them to wipe or something
What happened?
Okay. But I feel like if you're having that kind of an emergency, you could go to a bouncer and be like, listen, I'm going to shit my pants right here if you don't let me in. And they would probably just let you in because they don't want to deal with it.
Right. Right.
James was like, it was kind of cute. Like, what?
And then he's like, well, not cute. But I've been there before. I'm sorry, James. Are you saying that you have taken a dump outside of the club?
Yeah, I think it was the same night that the 2 married women ended up saying, can we be our plaything?
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. Hold on. I just soiled myself. Okay. I'm good now.
No.
Do you think that maybe was this storyline edited out of order? Did James find out that Moira had pooped outside of a club and had to throw her underwear away? And that was when he started talking to Kirsten.
Well, but he thought it was cute.
He said it was.
I just loved how, you know, earlier on, it's like, yeah, Moira's shy and I'm not. And then we find out Moira pooped in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what a shy person would do.
Yeah. Oh. Boy, this sounds like a real party story when you're going into the club and you have a sudden urge to defecate. This is like a real, Moira might really like the party.
There was a group of people that I used to like go clubbing with when I was like 20, and this one guy whose name I will not share, I guess for his dignity, he used to like take a poop like anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would thing. Like it was his thing. Like he would
go to the bathroom, or he would bring one with him everywhere.
he would make anywhere into a bathroom.
Okay, got it.
So, like, at one point, there was, like, a stairwell at a dorm, and he was like, I'm going to poop right here. And then another time, we were waiting for the train home, and I looked over, and he was just, like, sitting, balanced on the edge of a garbage can.
And you remain friends with this person?
Well, no, I haven't talked to this person in many years.
Did he have a condition,
have multiple stories,
or this was a hobby?
I think it was a hobby. I also was only there for one of the times that it happened.
If it's a medical condition, it's a different story.
I don't think it was a medical condition. I think that he just thought it was really funny. And I don't think anyone agreed, but nobody ever said anything to him about it except his girlfriend at the time really got upset.
Yeah, understandably.
Did not
but
think
so
it was cute.
That's a thing people do, in case anyone was wondering. It's certainly a thing people do.
Bad people.
Bad people. That's right. And so then the next one, I was confused about this next one. It was they went to a fake wedding ceremony to get a $6,000 bracelet.
I don't even think it was a fake wedding ceremony. It made it sound like that she got married to somebody.
I was confused.
I didn't understand.
Yeah,
anything about this.
This islander went through a fake wedding ceremony for a bracelet. $6,000 bracelet.
Went through, not to.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
I wonder if someone was like, quick, I need to pretend I'm getting married. I'll give you a $6,000 bracelet if you stand up here. But I don't know the situation you run into that.
I would like more information because I could use $6,000. But they guessed Rachel and it was Kirsten, which makes sense because it's the kind of cracked thing I would expect from her. And then there was this one, which I don't think was baggage, but it was this islander thinks that some people are gifted with natural talents and her natural talent is sex.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how you play production. You're like, my deep secret is that I'm really good in bed.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where I was like, all right, Rachel didn't have anything else. So this is what they brought out for her.
And it was.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you whose attention she got was Jeremiah was like, okay, that's it. Goodbye, Justine.
I feel like you can't take people at their word about that anyways, but you do you, Jeremiah. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
So then the last one they show is the person who calls themselves an FBI agent because they can find out everything about whoever they're seeing, and they guess Caitlin, and it was Caitlin, and that was the only point they got.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think Caitlin is a Big Brother fan, and that's how she got so good at this?
I feel like this is tame.
People online,
but like Big Brother people, like they find all of the information on everybody.
The contestants themselves.
No, the
Oh,
the
so you think she's
fans.
A Big Brother fan?
I think she's a fan. Yeah.
Okay,
That's possible.
Mm.
I feel like these were pretty tame.
Like normally on the UK version, what will come out is like, oh yeah, this man has slept with 1,000 women before, and then it creates some drama.
Yeah, and the answer is all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
not
like
Connor.
Which one of these men have a body count of 2,000 or more? And it's like half of them. but not in the USA.
I don't think I've met 2,000 people.
Who could possibly know?
I haven't counted.
Not recently.
I definitely have a spreadsheet of everyone I've ever met in my life, so I can keep track. No. You imagine if I put that much effort into anything?
Mm-hmm.
Could never be me. So then after this, you know, want to be together. Mackenzie and Connor reaffirm they have not had their first real kiss yet. And Jeremiah really sits Justine down to be like, listen, I think of you as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is going to change between us.
Yeah, Justine was sort of like, pick a lane. What do you want to do? Like, she friend zoned him, and then she saw him in a suit, and then she was into him, and then he went back to wanting to put her in the friend zone. Now she was disappointed, but she was the one that she was like, "There's nobody here for me. Like, there's nobody for me to connect with on the first day." So she's a little all over the place too.
I just hope someone comes in for her.
Yeah.
I think she's one of the other two on the bubble right now. So I like her a lot. And I feel like it was kind of like, all right, she was like rejected from Jeremiah straight out. But then there's really no better option here. So let me try this out. And, you know, gets rejected once again. So I am feeling bad for her in this moment.
But also Trey is right there, you know, and that's true. Are you going to marry Trey? Definitely not. Actually, nobody should marry Trey. But that being said, that's your pair for right now. You're fine. You guys need each other.
Yeah, I think they'll probably keep each other safe, which is nice, because after this little breakup, Trey and Justina do have a chat where Trey's like, I would pick you like over the other girls. Like, I'm not committed to you, but like, mm-hmm. I would couple with you if we were doing it tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's hit the spot.
That's cute. I don't know. And then the last thing is Mackenzie and Connor talk about his S&M one night stand.
Yeah.
And Connor drops that he's only had sex 3 times.
Yes.
But clarifies, no, with 3 people.
Yeah, Mackenzie was like, excuse me?
What?
I'm sorry? 3 times, you said?
Three times.
Quite the bomb to drop. Yeah, Mackenzie was all excited at the challenge and then heard 3 times and almost ran out of the room.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, with 3 people. And then I thought she handled it really well because, you know, she was like, oh, but like in a relationship, do you like want sex or is that something you're not interested in? Which I feel like a lot of people would maybe just be insensitive or make a joke about something like that. But she actually asked a thoughtful question and they got to be a little bit closer because of it, because he's like, yeah, no, I do want to have sex in a relationship. It just is special and for a relationship for me. So I thought that was actually kind of sweet in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like they both said, no cookies until you get the whole cookie jar.
Yes.
Really, really great analogy.
Such a good relatable cookie jar analogy.
It's, you know, you get nothing until you get everything.
The advice to give everyone, no cookies until you eat the entire jar.
Not eat the entire jar.
Yeah.
I'm horrified. So then that's the end of episode 2. I feel like we've gotten a good, like a basis for who everybody is. We understand what's going on. Is there anything that you think we missed that is going to be important moving forward?
Nothing that will be important.
I mean, all of this is deathly important, obviously. But yeah, so Love Island season 2, it is off to a great start. We have 6 weeks coming up of coverage on this. So the show is airing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We'll cover that batch of episodes. And then they're doing Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday's a recap. So I don't think we need to cover that. Like if you already get a recap from us, you don't need a recap from CBS. And so then we'll cover those. And hopefully they actually get back into their normal rhythm of, you know, 2 recouplings per week. And then it actually makes sense. Obviously, we'll reevaluate if the pacing isn't making sense. Scally, do you have anything else to add tonight on Love Island season 2 premiere?
No, I'm good. I excited that they, you know, cast some more people with personality, seem to have figured out more of like the jokes are here. They're not taking it as seriously, I feel like, as the beginning of last time. So I'm excited for the 6-week season we have in store.
And Rob, do you think you will watch any more Love Island or are you done?
I'd like to. The challenge is just that it is on when I podcast. So like, for instance, like on Thursday night, like Big Brother will be on at 8 o'clock and then Love Island will be on at the same time. And so like, I would like to keep up with it. I don't dislike it. I know you think that I really did not care for Love Island, but I do love trashy TV. The hard part is just like keeping up with it.
It is a lot.
And it's not a family friendly show where my son was asking me, Dad, what are you watching? I was like, just a show. He's like, well, what show is it? I said, it's called Love Island. He's like, can I watch it? No. No.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a little old for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Do you want to tackle any of the questions we got?
I do. Absolutely. That's where we were heading next. I was just pulling them up. So we got a huge number of people asking us questions tonight. So we're not going to be able to get through all of these, but
just ask the good ones.
We're going to just ask the...
Or the really dumb ones.
Well, who even could know? So Chris wants to know that in this 110 degree heat, how often do we think they have to change their clothes?
Hmm.
Yeah. Probably like, a good... You're making good use of that pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't believe some of the guys like at nighttime are wearing pants. Like, what are you guys thinking?
And they have to have good AC, like, in the actual villa itself.
Yeah.
Right? Because they have big duvets when they're sleeping.
But a lot of times when you're in Vegas and it's this hot, what you'll see a lot of times is, like, they'll have, like, the mister where they, like, are spraying you. It did not seem like that was happening anywhere. I mean, I don't know if that would, like, screw up people's makeup or the cameras or whatever. So I have no idea if the people were actually, you know, when they were outside in the sun all day, if there's any way to cool them.
Yeah, we need more information on the logistics of how they're keeping these people alive.
Maybe if you get the exit interviews again this season.
I sure hope so. So Sperm Whale Army wants to know, if you're a guy, what's the ideal entrance position? So like how should a man enter the Love Island villa to get people to step forward for them? Well, what would your opening moves be for both of you?
I'll let Scally take this first.
See, I liked Jeremiah, where he did a little bit of a dance on the way in, showed some personality. Ideally, don't only pay attention to the other men there, like Carrington. But I think part of what they were asking is, when do you want to be coming in? And I would say towards the end, when people are more inclined to like, oh, I guess no one else is really coming. I guess I have to step forward now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I was like stepping out into the Love Island villa, I'd probably fall on my face and like injure myself. It would just not work out for me.
It would make a great GIF. So there you go.
I would want to come in last, whether it was in like the final spot of to be the sixth person. That would be some sort of like a prank on the women that are there. Okay, here's this other guy that's there. Or I think at least fifth, because then if nobody stepped forward, well, it'd be like, well, I have to take the person that doesn't have anybody. So it'd be less mortifying than if I came out and five people did not step forward.
You really are trying to minimize embarrassment here, and I respect that.
Yes, that's my entire life.
So Nick City asks, do we think any of the current couples will make it past the first few weeks? I think that Connor doesn't have another option. He must stay with Mackenzie.
She's not letting him go. I think Moira and John and James have legs. I think Johnny and
Sally.
Sally, I could see, you know, them going on a couple dates with other people, but I would say those are the three that have some staying potential here so far.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Someone also wants to know, do we think Caitlin's upper lip was actually sweating or was it a play to get a makeout sesh?
I'm sure it was actually sweating, but also could have been a play.
I have heard that two things can be true.
Yes. I've seen that
In the patron group, I asked people to drop their comments, questions, and concerns. So
mostly concerns.
Mostly, I think people were saying the concerns are too easy. We'll drop our questions. So Sophie asks on personality alone, who would each of us choose to couple up with if we were on this season of Love Island? And it can obviously be male or female, whatever, whoever it would be.
I've said my favorite couples are the Connor and Mackenzie, so I'm sliding in there with them, just excited to be along for the ride and witness the drama.
Who would I choose? Because I feel like, again, I would probably be like, okay, James, like, let's go. And then I'd be like, oh, this is a very toxic man.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have regret.
I don't think that any of these people, men or women, would talk to me for any length of amount of time.
Hey, you spoke to Kara.
I said, yeah, but I don't think I spoke to her. I almost died with her, right? We didn't communicate.
Okay. Chris Turner wants to know if the timing of this is different because they aren't in Fiji. So are we getting things actually same day, or are we still one day behind? And I would suspect that we're still probably one day behind just because they have to put an episode together.
For sure. I mean, they were like, and a dramatic recoupling. I was like, how do you know already? So I don't know if they are more than one day, but I would say yeah, definitely at least one day behind.
Yeah, because well, yeah, I remember time difference like with Fiji now.
Like even last year with the Fiji stuff, we watched the finale and then like 5 minutes later, the call rang for the exit interview and they were like already back in LA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was wild.
It could be slightly tighter than that, but like they have a TV show to make. And then the last comment we got from Liska Savage saying, just an observation. You know that this is on network television because the bathing suits are so much less revealing than on Too Hot to Handle.
Mm-hmm.
The fashion is different.
Yeah.
Far fewer thongs for sure.
No side boob.
No side, but no under boob.
Bathing suits are bigger than the mask. That's
the bathing suits are bigger than the mask. They confirmed that for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is where we'll call it for our first recap. That probably sorry for taking up so much of your time Big Brother stuff.
I love getting to be a guest on podcasts.
Incredible. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. I don't know how anyone could be listening to this without knowing what you have going on, but do you want to let people know what else you're doing right now?
Sure. Well, we're going to have, of course, our Big Brother coverage Wednesday and Thursday coming up this week. But also we will get back into the Survivor, getting back into the Wiggle Room through time, talking about the Borneo finale. And then Phil Kogan has teased that this week's Tough as Nails is going to be the greatest hour of competitive reality TV he's ever been involved in. We will watch that in the Love Island time slot on Wednesday night, and then see what the hell Phil is talking about on Thursday when he joins us to talk about Tough as Nails.
I can't believe Tough as Nails gets the time slot on Wednesday.
Yeah, for 2 weeks.
I'm salty about that. Scally, where can people find you?
Well, I'll be back here talking about Love Island twice a week and on Twitter at Brian_Scally.
Perfect. And then if people are looking for more of me, I am still releasing Riverdale recaps over on Kowski Cast with Mary Kwiatkowski. That's Cow with a K. I'll be popping up in the Big Brother coverage over here. And then, next 6 weeks, Scally and I covering Love Island, as well as on social media at Kirsten Said What. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And we will be back at the end of this week to recap the next 3 episodes of Love Island. We'll see you next time.